Alabama. I've never done shows in Alabama. Well, guess what? That's about to change. February 20th through the 22nd, I will be in Huntsville, Alabama at Levity Live for 5 shows. Grand Rapids, Michigan. I will see you March 8th. I'll be headlining a show for Gildas Fest. One show. Come on out. California. It's such a... I don't have a singing voice. I have a voice for stand-up. And thank God that's what I'm doing in California. February 28th, I will be at the Balboa Theater in San Diego. March 1st, I will be at the United Theater in Los Angeles. And then March 2nd, that's a Sunday, I will be at the Palace of Fine Arts in San Francisco. All those tickets are available, dansoder.com. Go get them right now. Knowing your side.
Yeah.
I don't know what my good side is.
Yeah.
I have a big head. So
whatever side you're on right now, that's not it, honey.
Oh, work, girl. Work. Good side?
Bad side. I have a lot of gay traits except for the sex stuff.
Interior design. You know what's the gayest
Never thing? Married.
Yeah. He has roommates. That's what all your family members say. That's Graham's roommate.
He's a confirmed bachelor.
Yeah. That was crazy that back in the day, they just didn't let anyone be gay.
Yeah.
They're like, he's just a single man
that
lives at home
with his
friend Brian.
Yeah, his friend Brian. He lives with his friend Brian. And my parents are like, there was two old lesbians that lived in the end of our block.
Yeah.
And that's what they were. But my parents said that they were spinsters. Like, they just never married, so they became friends.
That's an old term.
It's like they clearly...
They munch carpet, mom and dad. Hold on. I got to look to see what... I'm looking up what
looking spinster... Looking up lesbians?
It's a disparaging and offensive comment. A woman still unmarried beyond the usual age of marrying.
Yeah, disgusting.
A woman who has never married. Yeah. A woman whose occupation is spinning is the third. This bitch just spins around. Which sucks if your job is spinning. And then they go, she's a spinster. And you go, I'm married.
Yeah.
I get dick.
I just like breakdancing.
I just love going like this. I love getting dizzy. Yeah. I get dizzy like a motherfucker. And then everyone's out here thinking I'm a lesbo.
Yeah.
Did they have like the lesbians at the end of your parents' block? Did they have like the flannel short haircut? Were they like obvious lesbians, or were they just like two older ladies that hung out a lot?
They looked like two old ladies. I think they were before. They're old. They were old. They were probably born in like the 1920s.
So
they were before. They knew about flannel.
Yeah.
They just wear like long dresses.
Yeah, they just...
God knows what they wore behind closed doors.
When did the lesbo look come out? Like, that's kind of a fun way to say that. But when did it premiere of like being butch? Because, I mean, I bet it's always been around.
Yeah, well, I guess it's kind of interesting because when I look back at my first two lesbians, is what I call them.
They were your starting lesbos.
Yeah, I guess they were just like, whatever is not attractive to men.
And you knew that when you were young. You would see that and be
like, I was like, they're two old ladies. And then you grow up and you're like, they were lesbians.
Oh, you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's what you say to them. You go, oh, you two were... Ooh. I got it.
And that was a wide one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wasn't a lesbo, I'll tell you that. She might have been a girth monster. That's always... My mom had a neighbor that was gay, and she was like stereotypically lesbian.
Yeah.
Like masculine, acting masculine, like was... You know, she was like, hey, how you doing? To the point where you're like, oh, you're... She wasn't like an old woman that you're like, oh, she's not married, maybe she's gay. You were like... You love pussy.
I love
it. Like, she came in the room and you were like, this woman loves pussy.
I love that people like see those people and they're in their head. They're like, they chose that.
Yeah. You're like, that's who they are.
It's like, hi.
That's how I've always...
Practice, hi. Yeah.
That's how I've always felt on the subway when I see like a gay guy on the subway and you're like, that guy is exactly who he's supposed to be. When he's just like, hi. Yeah. You're just like, that guy loves penis.
And it offends me.
And it is against God's will. Mm-hmm. And so I will attack him. The second we get above ground, I will attack him. That's so like, a rational gay basher. He goes, I'm upset by this. Mm-hmm. And when the time is right,
I will reset God's order.
What other gay stuff do you do besides interior design?
Interior design, clothes.
I think you dress.
I butched it up for this pod.
Oh, yeah? You had to really muck it up to make it look like one of the boys? You go, I'm really going to dress like I don't care. You had just an insane outfit on, and you go, God, I look great. Not for Dan, though.
I can really, not for Dan. Yeah. Then I'll confuse him.
Are you often called a sharp dresser?
Yeah, I think so. Especially in comedy circles. But here's the thing. If I was black, no one would notice.
No.
But if you're white and you care, people are like, well, look at you. What are you, gay?
Those are some of
It's like, well, if I was wearing matching shoes and a hat and I was black, people would be like, well, there's a normal guy. There's a normal straight guy trying to get puss.
You know? If you want to dress like a comic, you just have to look like a heroin addict.
Yeah.
Just wear like
or a lesbian.
Yeah.
Post. When they figured out the butch look.
When their look really hit the streets.
Yeah.
If you
not spinster.
You know what it looks? If you want to dress like a comedian, you just have to wear clothes that you look like you can sleep in.
Yes.
Everybody looks like they can just take a nap.
Everyone looks like they're at the airport.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's all travel shit like that. But you're right. I think as a white guy, if you have any style, they're like, what are you, gay?
Yeah.
There's a guy online that he used to pop up on my Instagram feed. He's like an old man, old white dude, and he would get off his fits, and he'd be like, these are my fits for the next coming week. And he was such a sharp dresser that you're like, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like an old white guy that's like, I found these sick Adidas that I'm going to pair with these green slacks and this yellow shirt.
We're not supposed to, as whites, peacock.
Yeah.
Because
it's like, who are you?
Subconsciously, we have everything, I guess. So we're like, ooh, you know?
No, I think it's supposed
like how
to be
rich people have dirty shoes and poor people have clean shoes and rims on their car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Everyone's trying to look more in the middle so they don't stand out.
Yeah.
Well, rich people do it because they're afraid they're going to get robbed, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
And I think white people peacocking, there's something about white people that are like, who do you think you
are? Yeah, I get upset.
Where black people go like, a black person complimenting your outfit feels so good.
Oh my God.
Where they go, look at you. Yeah. You look good today. And you go, thank you.
Yeah.
But a white guy goes, who the fuck do you think you are?
Oh yeah. Why Derek Gaines said the other day, he goes, I see what you're doing, man. I like it. I was like,
oh, that's when you were gay? Because my gay thing is I probably giggle and shriek more than I should.
And then leave a room?
I am very like.
That is gay. No, that is gay.
Yeah.
No. You are a gay man.
I would say the thing that I do as the gayest is I go like, whoo! Like I get the way I get excited.
That's nice.
I can't get excited around people. I have to go like, nah, that sucks. And then I go somewhere private. I go like, ee! Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my gay
I don't
shit.
Like what you, yeah.
You didn't like that.
I got a little homophobic there.
See what I mean?
So
really, you should probably check your privilege. Hmm. I don't even know what that means. It's just something I just say that to you. You should probably check that. Yeah, dude. I think every guy does gay stuff. It's just what gay stuff you do. And then if you butt fuck, you go, well, now you're gay.
Now you're gay.
If you blow a guy, you're butt fuck.
Yeah. I've been waiting for a gay dream my whole life. And
to go like, fine.
Then like I like interior design. Yeah. I like clothes. I like shopping. I like shopping for clothes.
Do you shop therapy?
Probably.
Do you just shop to feel better?
Maybe. Well, you know what I do is I'll just go into a store and look around. And just try on clothes.
Like, I always feel really bad about that.
Yeah. Well, I don't ask for help.
But even when I just go like, I feel like I'm wasting.
Did you ever work retail? I worked retail.
No.
Yeah.
Never worked retail.
When I worked in like a high end, like I sold Hugo Boss suits and in Ottawa.
Yeah.
So it's like Ottawa's the capital of Canada. So there's like all these like foreign dignitaries.
Sure.
And, you know, so they would
come in.
That's
your guys' DC.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's what a capital city is. Very good. And so I would like.
Who says you don't learn stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. That's your guys' DC.
I'm telling you right now, there is a fan of mine that goes, okay.
Yeah. Like
me saying that.
I know.
This is why you should get a fan base that's very close to who you are. Because I know that someone's watching that goes, I've never thought about it like that.
It's why I don't have a lot of fans. There's not like a lot of half gay guys.
A lot of half gay, tough like Canadians. Saying,
you go, like, I've been in fights.
Yeah. Like, you used to play hockey. You're a great athlete.
Yeah. I was an okay athlete. But
you were selling Hugo Boss suits.
And I was so bad at it. Like, that. When, like, you had to have a a book with all your clients in it and like write down their names and like if they had kids.
Was this
and like their
pre-internet?
Sizes. It was early days. Post-internet, but like, you know, there was like that 10-year period where things were still on books.
How old do I think you are? I was like, is this pre-internet? Yeah. Like, you're fucking 70. We're the same age. And I'm like, was this pre-internet? You're like, motherfucker, you grew up with the internet.
I am like a couple years older than you, and it's just enough. Like, I didn't have a cell phone until I was out of college.
Really?
Yeah.
That is older.
I didn't get a driver's license till I was 21. I bought my first car at 32.
What the fuck? Old man. All right, tell me about your little sales book.
They didn't have cars.
You old fogey. Yeah.
But you had my first cell phone on a donkey.
You go, I remember when smoking made you strong. And Guinness was good for you.
It's good for you.
And so you had a sales book?
So anyway, everyone like wrote down like their clients and like personal stuff. And then when you left the job, they used to ask for... other people would bid on your book. They'd be like...
Yeah, because if you have a big salesman that leaves, you go, I need that fucking book.
I need that book. And people would like buy it for like $1,000 kind of thing.
Like and offhand, like behind the scenes, they'd be like, here's your grand, let me get that book.
Yeah, and I knew I wanted to do comedy, so mine just had, I drew pictures of dicks in it and stuff, and there was like, I don't know, I was like 22. And so everyone...
It's so funny, the guy that opens that, he goes, you know what I got? I got Graham's thing. You know, people say he's gay, and they're doing that string off the thing, and they go, I don't think he's gay. And they open it, and they go, why are all these penises in
everyone,
here?
No, but it was like a joke, gonna go buy Graham's book and stuff. Really? Because all my people who bought suits for me, you have to chalk the suit at the bottom, like the leg, to measure how high it's going
to
be.
Yeah, to get it tailored.
To get it tailored at, you know, and mine were always wrong. Like one leg would always be shorter than the other because I'm like dyslexic and I'm just easily confused.
Can I talk to you real quick? Why is half my slacks shorts? Yeah. They look like AC/DC on one leg and then the other one's like extra long
by
and baggy.
God, I think this man is straight.
This whole time, we hired you because we thought you were gay.
You were one of those gay fellas.
It's clear you...
Sucking and fucking.
It is clear you're infatuated with pussy.
It's pussy. You can't...
Oh, my God. This guy's got pussy brain. This man's brain's all fogged up with...
A bunch of jugs walk by while I'm chalking it.
Yeah. You're just riding it across his knee. Yeah. He's like, I do not think that is where my suit goes.
Shut up, you. Look at them jugs.
Oh, look at them jiggly titties.
Yeah.
And he's like... I do love those tits, though. The dignitaries love you. African man. I am here from Senegal. Yeah. Those are nice tits.
Fat stacks.
Oh, wow. Those are big naturals. You're like measuring the guy's fucking knee. I will take these shorts. I remember how big those tits were.
I can't.
Dude, my favorite bailing of a voice ever was Nate. We were sitting around doing it. We were talking about Grand Theft Auto 4 came out with the Russian main character. And we were like sitting around. It was like me, Big J, Lewis, and Nate. And we were like, and then he's all like, I'm going to have 6 weeks. And Nate goes, and I'm going to, I don't do voices, man. He just fucking, it was the fastest I've ever seen someone pick up a voice. And he just went, no. So your book, No One Wanted, it was like the joke?
Yeah, it was a joke.
It was a joke book. That was your first joke book.
It was my first joke book, a bunch of dicks in it. And then I moved to America and became an illegal immigrant for 5 years, met you. Ate some dogs.
I aided in the help of an illegal immigrant
in
this country.
I came in a caravan.
A coyote?
My mom's Dodge Caravan.
My mom's caravan. Yeah. Did you, when you had that book, did anyone buy it off of you or did you keep it?
I tried to sell it and everyone laughed at me.
So do you still have it?
No, my dad cleaned out the basement.
Damn it.
Yeah. Parents, that man loves to clean out the... There's nothing down... What for what?
I'm going
to
tell you right now. Natural disasters and parents cleaning out basements make you lose all the stuff you grew up holding on to.
Yeah.
I spent a considerable... And I know my mom listens to this podcast. Yeah. Trish, you know you're guilty of this. But I spent, from the time I was 6 to 18, I had a Sports Illustrated subscription. Every major Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
Super Bowl champion, World Series champion, NBA champion. Those three.
Six?
Sorry, Stanley Cup. Six or seven. I used to do Sports Illustrated for kids.
So you had the Ken Griffey Jr. backwards hat.
I think so. The one I remember is the Y Michael when he retired in 1993, when he first walked away. When Jordan first retired to go play baseball, I had the Y Michael. I had the baseball one where he was going to baseball.
Yeah.
And then I had the welcome back. And then I just did that. I had Montana being traded to the Chiefs. I had like every 49ers one I kept because I'm a Niners fan. But like I had major ones and I had them in a giant moving box.
Uh-huh.
And every, I would stack them in my closet. And on it, by the way, it would say Daniel Soder yeah. with my old address, yeah. 1592. It was like hilarious to think that I thought people were going to be like, I'll just take this guy's Sports Illustrated. But I had them all saved. And when I left for college, I told my mom, like, don't touch that box of Sports Illustrateds. And then my mom moved and she was like, oh, I got rid of all those. And you're like,
she knew too. She was like, I don't want to bring this.
I would respect that.
And I don't love my son.
No, that, no, now we both know that's not true.
No, no, of course not.
I'm mommy's special boy.
You certainly are. I know how I know that?
Why?
Because I've known your mom's name for like 15 years.
Well, yeah, I grew up an only child with a single parent.
Yeah.
Katie's been baffled by that relationship. The more she like spends time with me, she's like, that's crazy.
What's crazy?
Being
you grew up with a single mom?
An only child and a single mom. It's just one-on-one.
Oh, so yeah.
Like, if I'm being a dick,
So Katie's just in the way.
No.
This love affair you're having with your mom.
My mother is trying to eliminate her.
Yeah.
Reverse Oedipus. Yeah. it's called a reverse Oedipal theory. No, it's, my mom is, it's like, when you have one parent, she doesn't have another parent to go like, Dan's being a fucking asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't have a sibling to go like, hey, is mom nuts?
Yeah.
So that's why Katie has a brother and, you know, her parents are married.
Yeah.
So she's like, if one parent was doing it, you could just go to the other one and be like, hey, I need a little help.
Yeah.
You know? And you're like, oh, cool. But when it's one-on-one, you go like, am I crazy?
Yeah.
I think I'm crazy.
Yeah. I have like, my brother, because he has autism, like profound autism, I have a lot of traits of an only child.
Yeah, because
I'm an only child. Because
you couldn't.
I have no one to talk to about anything.
He couldn't confirm your reality.
And I have to share.
Yeah. That's wild. I didn't think about that.
I have to share more. I have to share more than anyone. I have to take care of him. And I can't talk to him about anything.
That's a wild hand to get drawn. Because I'm now, as an adult, realizing how selfish I am as an only child. Like, people want to play online video games with me. I'm like, I want to play by myself. I don't want to play with you. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to enjoy it by myself.
Yeah,
it's same. Mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's an only child category. But if you have a brother, you know how to share at least.
Yeah, I'd be like, mom and dad, it's crazy that mom and dad are throwing stuff at each other. Yeah. And dad's leaving for a couple days, right?
Yeah.
And my brother's like, I pooped.
Yeah, and you're like,
okay, all right, I'll clean it up.
Yeah, you go. All right. But sometimes that might be good to get you out of that, where you go like, oh, I could have bigger problems.
No, I developed really bad OCD, and then
really?
I got sent to boot camp because my parents thought I was on drugs.
Because of your OCD?
Yeah, I didn't have the heart to tell them. I didn't know. I was too nervous to tell them that I thought that if I didn't touch everything 3 or 9 times, my face was going to change. So they were are you on drugs? And I was like, yep. And then they sent me to boot camp for 2 years. My last 2 years of high school, I was in a town of 300 in Saskatchewan. Like a 3-hour plane ride away.
Oh my God. By the way, I remember talking to you about this. I didn't know the reason why you got sent.
Yeah.
But I remember you telling me about military school, because you have old pictures where you legitimately look like Wolverine. That's how jacked you are.
There's nothing to do. You're like in jail. So like I'd call my friends. You're like, we're partying. We're having sex.
Yeah.
I'm dealing a little bit of drugs. I got money. Yeah. What are you doing? I'm like, well, I drank extra juice.
Yeah.
And that was exciting. I could have unlimited juice at snack time. And I spent about 6 hours in the gym. And if you skip church, if you can hide from the guy coming to find you to scoop everyone up for church, we watch VHS porn in the family room together. All the guys who skip church.
That is.
And you're not allowed to. Lights were off at 9:30. And if your lights were not off, a guy would come in with a hockey stick and break it, and you could not go to the bathroom after 9. If you went to the bathroom, you'd get beat up. I watched a new guy came, and he was like, I want to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, buddy, you can't.
Now, are you guys all in a common bedroom?
Like, there's five to a room about like two bunk beds and then one bed out the middle of one of the bunk beds that was smaller. We called it the penis bed. The smallest boy would go in the penis bed.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it a very tiny bed?
It was like a twin.
Okay.
And I guess they're all twins, but it was smaller. Yeah. I don't know.
It was like a double?
Yeah, but a little smaller. Okay. I don't know. I don't know where they would buy that mattress.
But it was the penis
bed. Sad mattress store?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They go, well, we got the sad mattress. Yeah. And they go, you know what? Sad. That's perfect for our penis bed.
That's actually
the name of it.
Yeah.
I go, you know, in Canada, they call a mattress a penis bed if it's like small.
Yeah. So even if you're a woman.
Yeah. Gotta sleep in the penis bed. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Even if you're a spinster.
And if you put two mattresses together, that's a clam bed.
That's a, you know, touch pussies. That's for lesbians. So the smallest guy got the tiny bed.
Yeah. So there was like five to a room. And in our dorm, there was probably like 20 rooms or so. And it was like a long hallway. And the rooms were like, I don't know, like maybe two of these rooms. I don't know, which is like 10 by 10.
Yeah.
And then buddy's like new there and he's like, this is fucking bullshit. I'm going to the bathroom. I'm like, buddy, don't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
And then he goes, hold it.
He goes, I'm going. And he like opens up the door. And then they have like the bigger, stronger kids are like the old boys of the dorm. And they're the enforcers. And it's like you divide and conquer kind of.
So they make them turn on you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they get special privileges and they get like a two bedroom. So there's two. So they have more room, you know. And then we hear the whole dorm here is like shouting in the hallway. And so everyone's like head pops out of each. There's like five heads.
Yeah.
Like little mice on top of each door, all down the hallway of each thing. And then all we hear is like, and I pop my head out and I just see a guy's foot. He got knocked out and his feet were just sticking out of the bathroom doorway like the Wicked Witch of the West.
Like the house crusher?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, it streaks back. The socks are all striped and they go under. Yeah. So you couldn't, what if you had to shit?
You'd get beat up.
Who would beat you up? The older kids?
The old boys, yeah.
Was there anyone, I mean, that... What if that's how you find out that unlocks your inner like warrior is you have to poop real bad and you go, you wouldn't like me when I have to poop.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I don't think so, bud. You're going back to that. And you go, don't let me poop. And he's like, don't push me. Yeah.
Don't push me.
And then you snap his arm. He's like, God. He's John Wickham.
Or more likely you think you have special powers and then you just shit your pants and get knocked out.
That's what I mean.
You get knocked out.
That is such.
Who starts coming out?
That's the gamble. Yes. You get knocked out, you're going to piss.
It's very bad. Yeah. You don't want to get.
Did he piss? The guy that got knocked out?
I don't think so.
What did he come back to the room like? Was he like, you guys could have warned me.
Well, concussed. A little out of it, I would say.
Yeah, he just had to sit there for a little bit. And he still got a piss.
Like, what I know about CTE these days and concussions and what, like, following, like, NFL and stuff like that, it's like he should have gone to the hospital. It's bad what happened to him. If you get knocked out, that's very bad.
Yeah, you shouldn't go straight to sleep.
No, just go straight to... Then go to math class.
Yeah, wake up
first
and
thing in the morning.
My brain is so soupy.
I'm just out of it today.
Well, I had to piss last night. Yeah. Found out that's illegal.
Is blood coming from your ear? I'm a lot of sorts.
Your parents thought you were on drugs because you were so OCD?
I had to touch everything 3 or 9 times because nine is the perfect three, of course.
Yeah, so everything... Like the mic, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, sitting down in chairs, like in school and stuff. And
you my guys put your butt down.
Yeah. I was like, you know, like there was like a couple kids that I hung out with that were like doing like dealing oxy or on or like just, you know, on some sort of drugs, but nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Like I'd smoke pot. I'd bought pot twice and smoked pot like maybe 6 times. I got drunk probably 10 times in my life.
Yeah.
And this is like, I was like 16. And every time I sat down, I had to do it 3 times or 9 times.
Like on your, so like if you're sitting down, you have to go like 1.
Exactly.
2. Oh, that would look wild.
Yeah. I do it in class.
Yeah. That would look like you were just bouncing your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. You're
like, why has Grant got so much tush?
My name's Grant.
Grant, I know. I didn't mean to say Grant. Yeah, I said Grant. I was like, Graham, goddamn it.
No, Americans can't say my name. It's fine.
You go, I'm sorry, is it Gray?
Yeah.
So you would bounce your butt 3 to 9 times.
And I'd be like, what? I'd be sitting there in class like, why wouldn't anyone fuck me?
Yeah. Well, probably because you're dropping it like it's hot.
That's right.
Fucking 9 times. Yeah, yeah. So instead of telling your parents the truth and being like, I have OCD. Did you even know it was OCD?
I did, but I was old enough where my psychiatrist couldn't tell my parents. And I wouldn't tell
Why?
My
Why? Because you weren't 18?
Because I was 16. It was like old enough where they, so didn't, they didn't have to tell my parents.
Wait, so you had a psychiatrist?
Yeah, because I was like acting weird.
And they were like, you have obsessive compulsive disorder.
Yeah.
But they didn't want to tell your parents.
They legally could not because I was above 16.
And you didn't because you were embarrassed by it?
I was embarrassed because I didn't really know much about it. They didn't give me much information about it. They gave me like a pamphlet. And it, like,
well, that should have been all
the
you
90s.
Needed.
It's yeah, it's like,
well, that's all we have. That's all the info we have. Yeah. Stop being a weirdo.
Yeah, yeah.
You
and then I was just like, well, that's weird. I didn't want like you. It's weird when you're that age because you're very self conscious, and then you already because you're 16, but you also don't want to be like, well, if I don't sit down 3 or 9 times, I think my face is going to change into a killer I saw on the news.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, but you know it's crazy. OCD is crazy, weird, because you know it's crazy, but you can't stop.
Yeah, I did it.
It's like you're watching yourself.
I did it very much smaller than that.
Yeah.
Where like I had a thing where I think every light switch in my house had to be facing up.
Yeah.
We had 3 light switches on our stairs. Like if you walked up the stairs, there was like 1, 2, and then another one.
So half the lights were on?
No, you could turn them off if they were all up. If they're all down or all up.
Or you could switch them so they were up or down?
Yeah. And I always had to have them up.
Yeah, yeah.
That meant things were positive.
Oh, that's, yeah.
And then I always had
to. Or hard.
I didn't think about it like that. Yeah. That would have broke my brain when I was like 12. I would have been like, you're right.
Yeah.
But I also had to leave the same door that I came in, which caused a lot of problems. Because they'd be like,
a
vampire. That's the empire. Dude, I swear to God, there'd be times where they'd be like, you can't go through that door. I'd be like, I have to. And I'd just walk through and be like, yam, yam, yam. Like fucking alarms going off.
Well, you were probably going through a very stressful point in your life. And I think that people that are OCD are better at comedy or just sports, things that are take a lot of time to get good at.
Yeah.
And a lot of focus. Because you repeat and you have to do it. And you can, there's a way to shift the OCD to get good at something.
Because it's repetitions.
Repetitions and focus on it. Well, I have to do, if I don't do 10, like when you start out comedy.
Yeah.
It's like, if I don't do 10 sets this week, I'm going to jump off a bridge. And so you do it. You just do it.
That's actually a great observation. Because I remember doing open mics.
Yeah.
I had to do 15 to 20 sets a week.
Let me see how our groups are different.
But that was the thing where I was like, if I didn't do 15 to 20 sets a week, I would have panic attacks about it.
Yeah.
Like there'd be a week where I'd do like 14 and I'd be like, I fucking suck, dude.
Yeah.
I'll go do fucking 30 more. Like, dude, Mike Lawrence used to do like,
I remember,
8 to 10 mics a day.
And he, you know, that's a man with, you know, autism, and autism is very close to OCD. And that, even back then, we didn't know what it was. We're like, Mike's got dirty glasses.
Yeah. Why does he write so many jokes and can't make eye contact with me? And then you go, got it.
Mike just, I remember one of the biggest compliments I got, because he said he was so mean back then.
Well, he was so critical.
Yes, because he was unencumbered by social norms.
He did not have the thing that goes, I probably shouldn't tell that.
No,
guy.
And he came up to me and he was just looking at my shoulder and he was like, Grandma, that joke about ghosts is really, really funny, and I just think you're a really good writer. And then walked away, and I was like, oh,
"That's the greatest. That's the greatest. He's so funny.
Yeah.
He's so
funny."
But he just wrote for Nikki on the Golden Globes. He writes for everything. Mike Lawrence is
he did
hilarious.
When we were starting to, when our group, because we started, you were a couple years ahead of me. But when, like, I consider you almost, you're like,
yeah, we're all in the same.
I was in 9th grade. You were in 10th grade. Same stuff. But the our group was starting to do late nights, and he got a Conan.
Yeah.
And then that night he did 3 open mics.
That's nuts.
And we were like at open mics, and I was like, you're sick.
Yeah.
Go be happy. I was always like, why don't I do 20 like him? And I was like, oh, because that's not, I want, because if I did Conan, I would be able to enjoy it.
See, Nate, who's never been diagnosed.
Yeah.
Nate used to do that many sets.
Yeah.
Nate would go, when he got Conan, he would go do as many mics as he could because he thought if he bombed with the set, then when he did a late night, it would go better. I remember he did Conan.
I get that. That's before the set, though.
And a mic wouldn't let, an open mic wouldn't let him go up.
Why?
He's like, I'm running my set for Conan. The guy's like, we're busy. And you know Nate. Nate's like, I'll never forget that guy.
Oh, for sure.
And I bet he still remembers him.
100% Nate still remembers
him. If this clip gets
him
to Nate, Nate goes, I know who that is.
Yeah.
But it was, that was like a kind of thing where, did you ever reveal to your parents that you were OCD, like after they sent you to military school?
Yeah.
Did they feel horrible?
Well, they were so stressed. No. My dad still goes like, I'm glad you went there. And I'm like, all right, dude.
You know. Are you glad you went there?
No.
You wish you would have spent your last 2 years.
Yeah, I hated it.
Yeah.
I really hated it. I met my best friend there because we were both like the two like funny guys.
Yeah.
And like, you know, when you meet somebody with the same sense of humor, you're like, oh, at least we have this.
Yeah.
You know, but it was tough. Like all my friends were like getting laid and like having fun and going to parties. I remember I made out with a girl at a party. For the first time, we like her friend grabbed both of our arms and brought us to like some back room, and we did like stuff. And I remember like, I'm so close to having sex; it's just around the corner. And then all of a sudden, I'm in Saskatchewan.
Oh my god!
There was 300 guys.
Oh,
there was
fuck.
50 girls. Oh. And every girl. There was also a junior hockey team in that town. And you weren't allowed to leave campus. There was alarms on the windows and stuff. And my friend escaped.
You couldn't piss at night.
No, my friend escaped, and a farmer found him in the ditch. And the farmer was like, "Where are you from?" And he wouldn't tell him for 2 days because he just wanted a break. And then he eventually told him. The farmer brought him back. But anyway, there was 50 girls, and there was like a junior hockey team in that town. And they weren't part of the school, and they had cars, and they were like they were like 18 and 19, and they're all jacked. And so they got all the pretty girls.
Yeah.
Like the six pretty girls are going to go with them.
Yeah.
And so
not you.
And it was like a lot of hockey. It was like a hockey school too. So like a lot of the women there had flannel.
Got it.
Yeah, they were spinning.
They were learning how to spin.
Yeah, learning how to spin.
I don't know if you know this.
You know what? They were having a good time.
Yeah.
They enjoyed that school.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? What a little fucking pussy paradise.
Dude, there was one mattress because it was surrounded by wheat fields.
Yeah.
So it looks like the ocean. All you see is sky. But there was one mattress, one of the penis bed mattresses got dragged out to in the middle of the wheat field. And there was just condoms all around it. And we'd look at it and be like, what lucky guy's been out here?
Oh, the farmer that owns that field? He goes, I was cutting down some wheat, and so I found a fuck mattress. I think it was one of those penis beds.
Man alive.
Oh, my God. All the condoms.
Oh.
I mixed all the cum, and I made a real boy out of it.
Sure.
It's just a cum soup Pinocchio. That sucks because... Yeah. When you tell your parents that, you do want that kind of thing of like, you want your like mom to grab your hands, like, I'm sorry, my baby. Yeah. Instead, they're like, good.
They had their hands full with my brother.
Sure. Is your brother younger than you?
Yeah, he's 3 years younger.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he was the baby and had autism.
Yeah.
So you were basically like, hey, Graham, you're a roommate now.
Yeah.
Did you feel that when you were like a kid? Did you feel like, oh, shit, okay, it's all, because I've known friends of mine that have siblings with special needs, there's like this maturity in them because from the time they were like seven, they were kind of like, hey, you're an adult now, help us with this other one.
Yeah, there you're like, you are, you, it's not about you.
Yeah.
You know, the whole world is not about you. You grow up immediately knowing that.
Yeah.
And then so you grow up very mature and normal, and everything's fine, and you don't become a comedian because you need attention.
Do you feel like that was the thing where
I never
like,
thought that till I went to therapy, and it's very obvious. I'm like,
dude, therapy points out stuff sometimes that you go like, it's like when a good stand-up joke, that like hackney line when someone goes, it's funny because it's true.
Yeah.
But when you go to therapy and they say something, you go, I do be doing that.
Dude, yeah.
You get so mad.
I would get so mad when people be like, comedians, they just want attention. I was like, no one ever says that about lead singers or musicians.
Yeah.
What's the difference? We practice an art and then we get good at our instrument. Yeah. And my therapist is like, so you have to take care of your brother and your... parents didn't pay attention to you and they sent you away, and so you needed attention. I was like, ah, fuck.
Yeah. You're acting out as an adult, and you go, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is one of those stories of like lying and then the punishment being worse than just if you would have gone, I have OCD. And your parents would have been like, I think your parents would have been more open to learning about it.
Maybe.
Because they had an autistic child. So
I think that my parents are a little autistic. I think that I'm a, like, you know what CODA is?
Yeah, the children of deaf people.
Yeah, I think I'm CODA for autism. Like, everyone in my family has autism, and I'm just like, oh.
Yeah. There is that moment, though, where I feel like if you are a CODA or your parents who have autism, I don't know why in my brain it immediately clicks to, like, so you can dominate that family.
No, they dominate you.
But in my mind,
if you're a deaf one.
Yeah, because then you're like, I can move in ways you can't see.
Yeah. I can hear.
I can hear it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's like...
You're blasting porn in the family room.
What's that?
Yeah.
You can't hear nothing.
Yeah.
It's all audiobooks talking shit, but my aunt did that. My aunt did...
Porn romance novels.
And then he revealed her breasts, and you go, nothing, Mom? And she's like, sewing. My aunt used to do a lot of drugs when she was a kid.
Sick.
And she didn't want to tell my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And she did... My aunt told me the story. My aunt Karen... I try to say aunt now instead of aunt because I grew up going, my aunt.
I say aunt.
I say aunt too. But people on the East Coast try to correct you all the time and say aunt.
No, you sound poor. Aunt.
Aunt is poor?
Yeah.
I feel like aunt is poor. I feel like aunt sounds more high.
Whatever I do is rich.
Cool. All right, I get it. Hey, I'm not messing with you, dude. Mm-hmm. Fucking drop that butt on that seat.
That's right.
Nine times.
Yeah. I used to work out.
Yeah, I used to work out. But my aunt did, she told me one time she did 15 hits of acid.
Oh my.
This is like mid, like late 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe mid 60s. She was like 17.
Yeah.
And she did a bunch of acid.
Cool.
In her room because she was grounded. She just took acid.
Your aunt.
Right?
Sounds and now you're cool. Like, nah, I'm messed
up. Aunt Karen ripped.
Yeah.
She's been dead since 07, but Aunt Karen ripped.
Yeah.
But she said that she took all this acid and then she was in her room and then she just went out and watched TV with my grandma and started tripping.
Yeah.
And she said she started laughing and being like, my grandma had white curly hair from the time she was like 30.
Yeah.
She went gray very early.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was like, had this like white puffy hair and my aunt was all on acid. She was like, you got snakes coming out of your hair. And my aunt was like, my grandma was like, what? My Aunt Karen was like, you got snakes coming out of your hair, like laughing about it. So my grandmother had her committed.
Oh my God.
Yeah. She took her to an insane asylum. And she's like, my daughter's lost her mind.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was on 15 hits of acid.
That's right.
And my aunt was like, day one, ruled. Because she was like in a mental institution and she's like talking to people and they're like, the aliens left me and my aunt's on acid. And she's like, yeah, they did. The aliens dropped you off.
Oh, she was still on acid when she got sent
tripping
there.
Tripping her balls.
She got committed that day?
They took her down and committed her because it happened that night.
Wow.
She was there for three nights. And she said by like the second day, she was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then on the third day, she had to call my grandmother and be like, hey, I was on drugs.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not on drugs anymore. Please come pick me up.
Yeah, yeah.
She had to go get her out of the asylum. But in that, that's like that immediately, you telling me that made me think of my aunt. It was like, yeah, Mom, I was high on LSD.
Yeah.
But no one knew what LSD was. It was like,
right.
She was in San Francisco in the mid 60s. No one really knew outside of like a handful of people what acid was. So especially my grandmother from Oklahoma, she was like, what?
Yeah.
She's like, you went crazy. And that makes more sense than her being like, I'm on drugs that make me see things.
Yeah. It's like, why would you take those drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like my grandmother, who's Dust Bowl, Oklahoma.
Why would you
like,
want to see snakes coming out of my head?
She goes, what, you ate paper and it made you crazy?
Yeah.
She said, get the fuck out of here. But I think that's so funny that you're so fucked up 3 days at an asylum and you're like, oh, I gotta make a phone call. I'm fucking nuts.
You have to piece it together too, right? Yeah. You have to be like, why am I here?
Cool. At first, at first, the people you're talking to, you go, if you're on acid, because the way Aunt Karen explained it to me, she was like, the first day, she was like, oh, this is cool. She was saying like, oh, this is real groovy. Oh, you seeing people? Oh, okay. Yeah. I see people too, man.
Me too, dog.
And then by the second day, she's like, hey, man, you guys are kind of far out
there's
there.
There's poo everywhere.
Yeah, you guys really like to bite each other.
Oh, my God.
And then on the third day, she's like, get me the fuck out of here. Yeah. This is a human zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was, I mean, thank God I never, I feel like I'd be the kind of person that would immediately go like, I'm on drugs. Please, I'm on drugs. Please don't send me there.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised you didn't at all go like...
Because I wasn't on drugs. I was crazy.
Yeah.
So I was embarrassed that I was crazy.
Yeah.
But when you get... Like my family is like my... It's like we're very loud.
Yeah.
Like my brother is, but also my parents aren't normal. Sure. Like we would get kicked out of restaurants just for being loud, and they would just be screaming at each other. My brother would be spinning in the corner, and I'd be going like kink, 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 sitting up and
oh
down.
Oh my God, the waiter goes, "This is the hardest table I've ever had."
He'd be like, the manager would come and be like, "You guys got to go." We wouldn't make
it. What would your parents be yelling at each other about? Domestic stuff?
Yeah. Like
a normal couple arguing?
Because
you said your parents are weird. Or are they like,
not
your mom dropped a piece of ice on the table and your dad fucking spun out?
It would be both. Like, I mean, I do this in my act, but because I'm trying to enact revenge on them. But I like record them. I record them arguing, and then I'll just repeat what they say, memorize it and repeat it on stage. But like I brought an ex up, like for the first time, my girlfriend, to like home to meet the parents. And my mom goes, David, can you go downstairs and get a bottle of wine for dinner, please? And he goes, okay. And then she goes, one more thing. While you're down there, can you bring up a cardboard box? And he goes, okay. She goes, I need that for later. He goes, okay. Goes downstairs, comes back up a couple minutes later. Bottle of wine, no box. My mom goes, David, where's the box? You never listen. He goes, you don't shout at me that way, woman. She goes, woman, you don't own me. That's why I never took your last name.
Oh my God.
I am not your slave. Then she stood up and started to,
this is from your girlfriend.
Yeah. She started to cry and go, I am not your slave, David. And starts like crying. And my dad goes, stop using tears as a weapon.
Oh my God.
And then we just ate dinner.
And then you just eat.
Yeah.
And then your girlfriend leans over and she goes, it's like,
because my brother and I, we grew up with that. We don't even notice it. Yeah. So we they'll start screaming and crying, and my brother and I'll just be like,
catch up. And he's like, there you go.
Just like blinders on, like horse blinders. I can disassociate when I visited New York for their 45th wedding anniversary.
So there you go. That's how you keep it together.
Took them to dinner, and they screamed at each other, and my mom cried. And we were like on a patio, like we were sitting like this close to a couple.
And the couple's like,
and they were just like.
But whenever you see that, if you're a couple and you see that, sometimes when you're a couple and you see another couple fighting,
yeah,
you feel better about yourself.
Yeah,
because you go, hey, at least we're not doing that, huh?
Yeah. My parents were good for that. All of Eastern Ontario got to feel good about themselves.
They're like, we're in a good thing.
Yeah.
What did your girlfriend say when she saw that?
She's like, that's crazy.
Later when you guys were alone, she's like.
I was like, let's go see downtown. Let me show you downtown. And we got in the car. She's like, what the hell was that? And I was like, what?
That was fine, huh?
I wouldn't have remembered that fight if she wasn't like, that was, we should talk about, she said this and that. And then she cried. I go, she did? Oh, yeah, I guess so. And another thing with therapy is like, I was like, oh, I got OCD. I guess I was mentally ill. And then my therapist was like, when did it stop? And I was like, well, I got sent to that school. And then I always thought that I dug myself out of the hole using, mental agility fortitude. Turns out I just left the house.
That's wild. Like, do you have it when you go back? When you go back, do you feel it? Is there like an itch to sit down like that?
Not as much. It used to when I was in my 20s and I would go back, I'd start flicking lights. But now I'm just like, I've been away long enough. I have enough. Build up.
That's like when people find a food allergy.
Yeah.
And they're like, if you stop eating that, you'll stop shitting your brains out. And you go,
huh.
I just thought it was because I was cursed.
And then as they do that, they're picking up cheese.
They go, don't eat it. And you go, sorry. I did it again.
Yeah. No, but OCD is always, I always like to describe it as like being sober. I don't drink anymore, but I'll always be an alcoholic.
Yeah.
Gonna be OCD. I'm always gonna be OCD, but like if I get tired, sometimes I'll start flicking lights and be like, what am I doing? And I'll go to bed.
The sitting things never came back though.
No, it really helped like when you like wanting to get laid really helps.
Yeah.
Like even sharing bottles, like alcohol and stuff, I could never, ever share a glass or a bottle with anybody. But as soon as I was like on a date, she's like, try this. I was like, you know.
She's like, I need this.
Yeah.
I need you. Yeah,
the stronger part of my body was like.
Your penis.
My penis is like, shut up, you.
Shut up, dumb brain. Yeah. And you go, well, we have to sit down nine times. That's fucking wild.
Yeah, yeah.
I always wondered, like, what would be the thing if, like, to have OCD and then your parents go like, nah, you're fine. You're good.
Yeah.
I mean, when you came back from military school, did it happen then?
Did I get OCD again?
Yeah.
I never lived a full year after that.
You just go stay with
your parents. I went to college, and then I lived in Budapest for a year, and then I moved to New York and tried to,
What was Budapest stand-up. Like?
It was awesome. I'm good at interviews. I've been fired 22 times in my life.
Oh.
I'm good at interviews, but not good at the job part.
What makes you good about it at interviews?
I seem normal. I can make eye contact. I seem intelligent, but I am.
And then they hire you, yeah. And they go, "We got a dud."
And I'm like, "Kink, kink, kink." Yeah.
You're sitting down, dude. We got fucking hustled on the floor.
I'm easily confused, but anyway. So it was a logistics job. The Canadian government paid me to work for a private American shipping company doing logistics during the height of the Iraq War.
Okay.
So we shipped things from America. Via Kuwait into Iraq, into Baghdad International Airport, aka Camp Victory at the time. Anything an American army base would need other than weapons. So like hammers, nails, TVs, comic books, because they're all children. They're all like 18.
Cigarettes,
yeah. And
did you ever skim from the top?
A couple darts for grandma.
That was the most Canadian I've ever heard you. That was the most Canadian shit I've ever heard
buddy,
you say.
Hey, bud, a couple
darts for grandma. So fucking
three cartons of darts.
Yeah, it's fucking ripping butts, bud.
Ripping fucking darts out back.
That's so funny. You just all this shit's coming through. That's a fucking cool job. Did you like
but
me?
But if you talk shit about if you fucking tell anyone I'm fucking skimming darts, I'm gonna tune you up. Bud. We're dropping. In the mitts,
dude,
you're getting lit up.
Here's my question. You've lived in both Canada and America.
Yeah.
Are Canadians better at fist fighting than Americans?
Yes, because there are no guns. There are only farmers have like guns.
Mm-hmm.
So everything.
And they have like shotguns and hunting rifles, right?
Yeah. And so every fight, there's no threat of being shot in the head.
Sure.
So it does see itself through into a fist fight.
Got it.
There are certain towns where you will get stabbed.
Are those the big cities like Ottawa City, Vancouver, Toronto?
I like how you called it Ottawa City. You mixed Quebec City.
Quebec City and Ottawa.
Because you're thinking Ontario.
That's what I'm thinking of.
And it,
I don't respect your country.
Toronto is the capital of Ontario. Yeah, no, you absolutely don't.
I have zero respect for your fist fighting country. That really is, though, when you're an American, you're like raised to be like, fucking kick ass, grab a gun.
Yeah.
Light some shit up, brother.
Yeah.
Rambo, Terminator.
Yeah.
All of it. You're like, give me the biggest fucking gun. All your toys have guns.
Our toys had guns too.
That's kind of weird though, isn't it? You guys grew up playing with action figures with guns and then you're like,
and so water pistols.
We can't get these at all.
Well, we're playing war and like shooting each other. We weren't like, when do we get to really shoot each other in the head?
You guys never played mass shooter?
Yeah.
With a squirt gun? There you go. Revenge.
we all take turns being the teacher, jumping in front of it.
Oh, someone go block the door. I'm mentally ill and I'm trying to get in the room.
No one will fuck me, so I'm going to kill you all.
That's what the new war is?
Yeah.
Kids don't play war much anymore. They play clear out the mall.
Yeah.
I'm shopping with my family now. My life is different. that's. I think that's. You're absolutely right. That's why Canada's better at fist fighting.
I mean, yeah.
And hockey.
Everyone's like, you guys are so nice. It's like, have you ever seen a hockey game?
Yeah, you guys. By the way, I will say, YouTube hockey fight, Canadian hockey fights, mic'd up. You guys are the best shit talkers because you're polite during your shit talking.
Yeah.
Where you like ask. You go like, you want to go, bud?
Yeah, you want to go?
And you go, throw? You throw, I throw. And
yeah.
You throw it out and then you start fucking.
Yeah.
And it's like 20 punches to the head and then they're like, spit out a tooth and like, I'll go to the box.
Yeah, good fight, bud.
Good fight, yeah. I think there's something to be said
sometimes,
about that.
Sometimes.
It gets it out.
It gets it out.
You pop the zit.
Yeah.
If you fucking beat the shit out of each other.
Yeah.
And hockey players are the toughest athletes.
Well, you're
outside of mixed martial arts and boxing. Like
you're playing
team sports.
70% of the physical contact of a football game.
Yeah,
And a football player can only physically do like 17 games a year.
Yeah.
Hockey has 82 games.
And you're not suspended or ejected for fighting unless it's a specific kind of fighting, right? Like, you're allowed within the rules to fight however it results in a penalty.
You need fighting in hockey. The reason why it hasn't, they haven't got rid of it yet, is because it's such a fast sport that you can take liberties with the other team's best player.
Mm-hmm.
And the like, you can elbow them and no one can see it. You can do stuff that the ref won't catch. And the only way that you can adequately police is if you go, all right, if you do that, I'm going to break your nose in front of your family.
Yeah. And he goes, yeah. Well, that's not fun.
Your mom's watching on TV and your dad's watching. They're in the stands. I'm going to beat you up.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it helps for the most part. You know, it's like how, like in basketball, like, you know, if there's like, you have a jump shooter, people like Zaza Pachulia or whatever his name was, he like stuck his leg under Kawhi Leonard, mm-hmm. and then he sprained his ankle, and then nothing could happen.
You can't fight him.
But and that's why the Spurs didn't win that year.
Yeah.
Because you can't fight him.
You can't go, like, you can't send a guy who's like eighth on the bench,
yeah.
to be like, hey, next time he's on the floor, why don't you go fuck him up?
In hockey, someone the next shift would grab Steph Curry and beat him up.
Yeah.
And be like, you like that?
That's why.
Is that what you wanted?
Yeah.
That's what you get.
Sidney Crosby always was amazing to me because he was so good at hockey, but he also always had his own goons where like guys on the Penguins were like, you touch him.
Yeah.
I'm going to fucking break your face.
I met Wayne Gretzky's, because they call him enforcers.
Yeah, enforcers.
Or policemen.
Yeah.
I met Wayne Gretzky's enforcer. His name was Dave the Tiger Williams.
Sick.
And he signed a hat I had, and it was sick. Like, I was like, my name's Graham. And he goes, and he spelt like glad wrong.
See, we all do it. Good job, Tiger. I'm right there with
so
you.
So much CTE. He's like, very good.
Yeah. He goes, you didn't touch Wayne, did you? You go, no, sir.
No, sir.
No, sir. But I think that's like offices should do that. If you have like a good employee and they're like, don't fuck with him.
Yeah.
Inner office politics might fuck with him. And then he has a goon.
Yeah.
Where he's like, hey. You mean to Roger in accounting? And you're like, why is that? He's like, just pulls your shirt over and starts beating the shit out of you. I'm sorry. He ate my lunch. He's like, that's why I loved. Do you remember that commercial series, Terry Tate, Office Linebacker?
Yeah, that was great.
They're on YouTube.
Yeah, now. Yeah, yeah.
Please go watch them. They're so funny.
Yeah.
But just when the guy throws the recycling, he throws the can in the regular trash, and he's like, whoa. And the guy scrambles to throw it back. Because there is something about, like,
I feel like that's how, like, the offices were in, like, the government, like the Nazi governments.
Where they're like, you screwed up.
It's just the simple filing part of the Nazi government.
Do you know if I have my stapler in? And he goes, shit.
Oh, no, this is really going to, he's really going to come down on me. No.
9999, I'm in so much trouble.
I did not collate.
Yeah, dude. Oh, my God.
He's going to shoot my mother.
Working in Hitler's office? Yeah. You're like, I fucked up.
I didn't get the calls that the Russians were involved.
He's going to gas my labradoodle.
Dude. He goes, how's that new wife of yours? And you go, yes, my Fuhrer. He's going to send you to Auschwitz. Mm-hmm. You're like, son of a bitch.
I see this.
Well, that's how they said about, like, Saddam Hussein's son. Like, he would torture the Iraqi soccer team because they wouldn't win.
Yeah.
So they'd have to go home and be like, fuck.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, Uday Hussein wants to see you. And you're like, God damn it. And then he would put a car battery to their testicles because they, like, missed a shot.
Good Lord.
That's not how you make a winning team.
No.
You go miss and you go, fuck.
No.
You just miss a shot and you're like, they're going to zap my nut. I would I would have broke so quickly if I was like an Iraqi soccer player.
I tell you what. I'd be blinking and twitching and sitting up and down.
OCD would be the least of your problems. Hop.
He's really telegraphing where he's going to kick this thing.
Why does this man sit down 9 times? He's got a little thing called OCD. Torture him.
Uday Hussein, surprisingly uncompassionate for the OCD.
What if he was? He's like, well, I know a little bit.
I also struggle with mental illness.
Having a father like Saddam is not easy.
It's very pressure cooker.
Anybody peeped Uday Hussein's OCD? After he gassed the Kurds, Uday got a little weird about it. He's like, yeah, if you have OCD, we're not mocking you.
Yeah.
We're embracing you.
No. We are mocking the Kurds.
You should have fought. No. If you read that, you're like, oh, fuck. Saddam was a nasty little man. But now you're a full-time resident of the United States. You're not an illegal immigrant. This doesn't have to.
No. No more dogs. You don't no have more to worry kitties.
About, you don't have to worry about Trump coming in.
I do. I mean, I had a. I only have a green card, and
are you worried about Trump coming in?
Well, so I was. I got a green card. I had a O-1 performing arts visa when I lived in L.A. And then I applied and then got a green card. And they have a beginning date of the green card, and then my O-1 had an end date, and so. They were going to overlap, so I was not going to have to leave America.
Right.
The whole time I would have been illegal, or legal rather. And what happened was, he got elected, and I had been arrested in America, and I punched a cop, and I got drunk. I got attacked from behind, and they were plain clothes. It was during the stop and frisk era.
Yeah,
and they were plain clothes. Grab you. They just grabbed me from behind, and they like slammed my head against the grate of a bodega that was closed night. My friend was tagging an outdoor ATM, and I was like, "Why are you tagging? We're almost 30. Want to see my tag from ninth grade?" And I grabbed her marker, and then all of a sudden, I'm being slammed by a guy in jeans, and so I elbowed him in the head. And then, you know, they're like, two of them grabbed me from behind, slammed me on the ground, handcuffed me. And I was in jail. I was in jail for, you make a phone, you're allowed to tell them a number, and then they call that number, and that person, hopefully it will come get you out.
Sure.
But the only number I could remember is my parents' phone number back in Canada.
Fuck.
And they're out walking the dog. So my brother picked up.
Fuck.
And he, you know.
He's autistic.
We always pretend that we're Bert and Ernie, my brother. Oh. So he goes, "I don't know, Grandma, I know Bert." And then so I was in jail for 4 days. Oh. And anyway.
Hello, Bert, that is kind of a funny way to knock it out of jail. Yeah. He goes, "Yeah, I got your I got Graham K here." And he goes, "I don't know, Grandma, I know Bert."
Yeah, that's what
goes,
happened.
And he goes, "Excuse me."
Yeah.
He goes, I'm Ernie. And that's Bert. And he goes, "Excuse me, sir. Are you fucking with me?"
Yeah.
Like in New York, NYPD, be like, "Who the fuck are you to tell me you are fucking, what are you, Bert and Ernie?" He goes, "Yeah, I know Bert."
I like, full disclosure, I do this story. I have a
show.
He has
an incredible one-man show about his brother with autism.
About being the only, like, sibling of an autistic child, like, kid, and, you know,
taking care
of
him. Are you still doing the one-man show? Are you still doing it?
Yeah. I think we're going to do it at Soho Playhouse, but...
go buy tickets. I'm telling you right now. He did it at Fringe. Yeah. He did it. He's taking the show everywhere.
3 5-star reviews at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
If you've done the Fringe, you know how fucking impossible that is to get a 5-star. I got a 4-star, and I've been coasting off it since 2019.
Sick.
But I'm saying, a 3 5-star review at Fringe is fucking ginormous. Thanks,
man. Yeah. But anyway... Just full disclosure, I'm doing a bit right now. But like
Well, you're telling us the bit, which that's...
But he's like there. Why I know he did that is because when I got out and there was like a voicemail on my phone, because they take away your phone, right?
Yeah.
And it's my brother, because my brother was, because I guess they go, "This is Central Booking in New York City. Do you know a Graham K?" My brother was like, "No, I know a Bert." And I know my brother said that because when I got out, there's a voicemail going, "Hey, Bert, Ernie here. A man from Central Park called in New York City. That's where they filmed Home Alone 2. Okay, bye."
That's great. If you're not in trouble, what a fun voicemail. Yeah, yeah. If you're getting out of jail, not a fun voicemail.
I was like, "You fucked me, Ernie.
That's so funny.
You got me good, pal."
Yeah. Tell him it's Oscar the Grouch now. You let him know that Oscar's a little mad about it.
There's just a room with 20 guys, one toilet, no beds.
Oh, in 4 days.
Yeah. Peanut butter numbers on the walls.
But that's what happens. They're not sending their best.
What was I telling the story? Oh, yeah. So I was supposed to be, my green card was supposed to overlap, but then Trump got elected. And even though it was expunged, because it's just a misdemeanor and it was like thrown out or whatever, but it's still, I got arrested. So my green card, even though I got approved and it was supposed to be in the mail, Trump said, he got elected and he was like, put a stop on all green cards from people that have been arrested.
Sure.
So I had to immediately, I was going to move from LA to New York.
Yeah.
I'd been in LA for 2 years. I wanted to move back to New York because I started here. I love it here.
Yeah.
You know.
You're in the scene here.
I like a walkable city mostly. Yeah. But, and so I had a car and I was going to, I had a tour and I was going to crisscross across America and, I was going to open for Nate. I was going to open for Gary Goldman and do a couple of festivals along the way. And I immediately got kicked out of America and had to go back to Ottawa, play cards with Dave and Constance, my parents. And I had to sell everything I owned over the phone, cancel the tour, sell my car over the phone. And I just had everything I could grab, clothes and shit. And then
they were like, get out right now.
Yeah. And yeah. Yeah. And then my lawyer was like, you have to get out. And so I'm and wait for it to be resolved. And then finally they were like, you can plead your case to the American consulate in Montreal. You have to go to the American consulate in Montreal. So, and luckily it's only a 2-hour drive from Ottawa, so I can go in a day. If I lived in Vancouver, I would have to, that's like Seattle to like, I would have to fly across country.
But you don't think they would have given you like a consulate and like,
There's only one office.
Really?
Yeah, it was weird. And so I went to Montreal, booked the appointment, and luckily I had the sheet of paper still that said it was expunged. And so I had to verbally plead my case to a lady behind, like DMV glass. And
what you said earlier, you're good at interviews.
Luckily, she was black.
Okay.
And I was like, I didn't do anything and the cops beat me up. And she was like, oh, you got picked up. Okay, no problem. Because in her world, the cops can just make you disappear.
Yeah.
And it's not your fault.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That could have gone another way, though. She could have been like, oh, so you don't like it when they do a white motherfucker. And you're like, oh.
Well, fuck. I don't. I'm white.
Yeah. You go. Yeah, I understand that. I'm just saying, yeah. I feel your pain.
Yeah.
So you do this a lot. You're doing Wakanda forever. Just please stop doing Wakanda forever. And you go, so you want to let me back in?
Come on, Jive Turkey.
Say hey. Bring me back in.
Let me into the U.S. over.
Say hey, girlfriend.
I want some chitlins.
You do what my mom does with older black women around. You call her girlfriend. You go, come on, girlfriend. And she goes, I'm not praying. Let me back in. Yeah. But was there a moment when you were pleading your case that you kind of saw her be like, I'm going to let him back in. Did you see her like soften at all?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah. I told her the whole story.
And was it when she said,
you can tell someone's telling the truth.
Yeah.
And it's like complete bullshit. Yeah. And it's like, they had a quota system back then. Yeah. They had a thing where like,
that's why they ended stop and frisk was because it ended up being like pretty clear. Guys were just doing it to get the amount of people.
There was whistleblowers and cops would like record their like precinct.
It was overwhelmingly black teenagers for weed.
Yeah.
They were overwhelmingly being like, hey, you're a black kid. Get over here.
Yeah. And they were like, if you don't get your arrests up, you get the quota up. If you don't get your arrests up, you're going to be working at McDonald's. Do you want to work at McDonald's? Arrest more people.
Yeah.
And so it was like the end of the month, and they're like, look at these dumb hipsters. Fuck them.
Oh, man. You know? I bet.
They loved it. Slamming me.
There was that guy. You did make that guy's day. He probably skipped home. He's like, can I tell you a story? So these fucking hipsters, they're all doodling. And I grab one of them, fucking bang, right against the thing. A baloosh.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I got my fucking, this fucking guy elbows me. Turns out this guy's a fucking illegal immigrant.
Yeah.
And I get to fucking toss his ass back to, that's wild.
Yeah. And then I held him down and I kissed him
I kissed him. I said, you know what? You look like you're good at interior design. You look a little gay.
Yeah. Yeah. Just enough to like it too. Yeah. It's not gay.
Soft kiss.
Yeah. You're like half a chick.
Hey, you smell good. You dress wonderful. If you were black, I wouldn't notice.
I'm only half hard.
You go, but I remember I remember the process of like you leaving.
Yeah.
Because you really were like, hey, I can't live in America anymore.
I also got a Conan audition and it was illegal for me to do Conan. So it was like time for me to go. Like I didn't have the work paper. So if I got it, I couldn't take Conan. So I was like, oh, it's time for me to go. I was on a tourist visa the whole time. I would cross the border every 6 months.
Sure.
And I would work at restaurants that paid by they, well,
I know I tried to get you hired at Dos Caminos.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And they were like, what's your social? I was like, I don't have one. Yeah, but in an American accent, they're like, why?
Are you an alien?
Yeah.
And you go, kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
There was a, I remember that. I was working at Dos and you're like, hey, because Demetrius, our friend Demetrius, worked with us. And you're like, yo, Demetrius and you guys both work at Dos. Can you get me hired?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And I remember we were out having a beer.
Yeah.
And you go, can they pay me under the table? And I was like, oh, this place is so corporate.
No, totally. Yeah, I was dumb.
And you're like, nah, I got to go.
I can't do that. I would only work at restaurants that were going out of business. Yeah. And it was their last ditch to not be able to like only hire people they couldn't pay.
Yeah.
They're like, so I just lived off tips for 5 years.
Fuck.
And I got past at clubs that I couldn't get past that. But I had to turn down getting past when I found out they paid by check. So I only could get past at clubs that paid in cash.
Oh.
And it was just like becoming, I only planned on staying for a summer, but I was traveling. I worked in Budapest and I kind of got a late start. It was like 25. And I was like, well, if I do I got a summer job that paid under the table, working at a rich kid, like a rich kid's like Jewish summer camp, organizing the trips for them in the summer. They would go abroad and stuff. And it was only like the summer. And I was like, a summer in New York doing comedy is like, 2 years in Toronto or something.
Sure.
So that was the plan. But I immediately got fired for sending a kid to the wrong city in Italy.
What city did you send him to?
I don't know. It's like, I don't know.
That's so funny.
I'm dyslexic.
The thought of a Jewish kid getting there going, this isn't Rome at all. What are you doing? This is Rome, Alaska.
Benji.
Why am I here? Benji Gordon-Schwartz says that you sent him to the wrong thing. He goes, but mom, there's not supposed to be snow in Rome. That's so, and it's
Benji, you're in Turin.
You're not supposed to be in North Italy.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be in Southern Italy.
I like to think that Benji went on a nice little adventure because of me.
That's so funny. Yeah. Benji, if you see this, sorry about this, but man, you really started a comedy career.
Mm-hmm.
You really launched your career.
Mm-hmm. I had enough money for my sublet, but not enough money for food.
Oh.
So I was like, well, I got to find a job. So no one would hire me at a restaurant. So, but I was like, I noticed there's like girl, like Russian women at these restaurants. I was like, they don't have papers. So I went to the gay neighborhood.
Oh, good job.
Back in my day, that was real peace.
I'm telling you right now, 25-year-old Graham K. Ooh. Good Lord almighty.
Mm-mm.
You got hired. You got picked right up in Hell's Kitchen.
They put me on the patio.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
A little twirl first.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, they're like, we don't care where you're from.
Half gay?
They go, hey, you know what? Last time I checked, you don't need a visa if you came from heaven. That was how they hired you.
And you'll suck me dry.
And he goes, there's no work visas for angels. Go ahead. And then you go, I don't have to fuck you, do I? And they go, well, you know, we'll see.
We'll see. I'll try and break you down. They used to, the bartender used to be like, I'll give you $25 if you let me see your chest.
Did you do it?
No.
Why?
I don't know. I felt weird.
It's your chest.
He's like, lift up your shirt.
Don't be gay. Please. It's your chest. That's it. Oh, he's told not to be gay while doing gay stuff.
Yeah.
Don't be gay. Show your chest to me. That's so funny. 25 bucks for your chest? I'd do 25 bucks for a chest right now.
I would do it now.
Yeah.
I was less secure.
Right, yeah, I'll do it right now.
I was
now.
Like, what if I'm half gay and this is a whole new thing?
And you go, don't crack me open.
Yeah.
Don't you crack me open by showing my chest.
I'm just trying to figure out who I am. I don't want to start over again.
Don't make me sit down 9 times.
Yeah.
you'll
sit down more than 9.
Yeah, maybe. Buddy, you're going to need a donut when I'm done with you. You are one of my oldest friends in comedy. It's always been fun to hang out.
I love you, buddy.
I'm glad that you could come by and do the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Are you promoting?
Was this on?
Yeah, this is the whole podcast.
Good.
Are you promoting the one-man show?
I don't have a theater yet, but follow me on Instagram.
Yeah, we'll
follow me on stuff because I will be promoting it on there.
It's
I
a tour great show. A lot.
You know, I have specials on YouTube.
Yeah, go on YouTube, follow everything that Graham does. Give him a follow on Instagram. Instagram.
That was my first one. Was Instagram K. But everyone called me Greg or whatever the hell
called
you called
you Grant
me.
Grant by accident. Yeah. Dude, whatever, man. I'm half
it's
retarded.
It's tough being an immigrant, you know? No one can say your name.
I'm half stupid, all right? I got fucking problems. Why don't you ever think about me? He's trying to make it about me. Yeah. Hey, why don't you make it fucking? Why don't I got fucking problems? No, I love you to death.
I love you too,
I'm glad
buddy.
You could come by and do this.